we had an amazing week at camp. We always have an amazing week at camp, but this one specifically was amazing because I remember it the most because it was last week. But it was fantastic. We had a lot of people get saved, which is always awesome. We had people rededicate their lives for the Lord. We had people baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues like crazy all night. We had people that had to be carried out at night. We won't say any names. Alyssa will. But it was awesome. We had a great time. It was fantastic. And now it's the week after camp. I know, it's a bummer. That's the thing about camps. You always have to come back. It's kind of a bummer. It's exciting to be able to stay out there because everybody is experiencing God, and it's easy for you to experience God when everybody else does, right? Just like it's easy for you to get in trouble when everybody else is getting in trouble. Right? Come on, let's be honest. When everybody around you is cussing and swearing, it's easy to slip up some words, right? In the same way as a positive camp can be, right? Negative influence can be around us as well. So it's hard when we come back to reality, back to life, try and trip people, right? We come back to our families. We come back to our friends. We come back to all of our old habits and all the things. And camps are amazing because we get this awesome spiritual high and we feel like a connection with a lot of people. A lot of you build new relationships. Raise your hand. So the ones that went to camp that aren't raising your hands, you didn't build any new relationships? It's awkward. Right? It's such a great time for us to build chemistry with each other. I'm really going to fall and you're going to feel bad. We build these new relationships. We have this awesome time. We have a great encounter with God. And then we come back. We come back to life. And it's up to us to sustain that. Right? See, this high is easy to continue when you're out at camp because, again, everybody's experiencing it. Everybody's encouraging you to be on fire for the Lord. We're having these amazing worship nights and encounter nights 5 days in a row or 6 days in a row. And everybody around you wants the same thing. But when you come back to your normal life, it's not that easy to encounter Jesus. You can still encounter Jesus in the same way, I promise you. But it's not as easy. You're not as surrounded by it. And it takes a lot more on your half to pursue Jesus, to pursue relationship with him, right? So now that we have this awesome encounter, what do we do with it from here? Some of you that didn't come to camp, you've probably encountered God in some way at some point of your life. So what do you do to sustain that encounter with God and make it not just an experience, make it a lifestyle, make it a change, make it actually change and transform your life? What do you do from here? Right? The title of our camp, or the name of our camp, the theme, that was the word I was looking for. The theme of our camp, Dale, will you stand up and turn around? Was a mark for eternity. It's on this t-shirt. Awesome. I wore mine yesterday and I didn't want people to judge me and wear it 2 days in a row, so I didn't. I actually have two as well. I could have, but you would have known that I had two, and I'd try to explain it, and you wouldn't believe me, you'd call me a liar, and then all this would happen. So I didn't do that, but a mark for eternity. The title or the theme of our camp was not a mark for a week. See what I did? So how do we take this experience and take it from a mark for a week to a mark for eternity? How do we sustain it? How do we keep it? That is our goal. That should be our goal as believers, is to continue to have a relationship with Jesus, not just an experience, not just an encounter. We're pretty big on encountering Jesus at camp. I think it's super important. And some people say, well, you should teach the Bible a lot more and do a lot of these more specific encounters with God and not just experiences. But I believe that we have to, in some way, experience God and know that he's real for us to want to continue to pursue him. And so we have this and we set up these times for us to really encounter God and experience him in this powerful way, and people to feel these gifts of the Spirit in them, and you to feel and know that God is real. Right? But you don't just take that experience, right? And it's not our goal and it shouldn't be your goal just to take that experience and just coast the rest of your life on that one experience with God and say that you're a Christian because you encountered him once. Right? It's quiet now. Right? It should be a continual thing that we want more. It should lead us to wanting more of Jesus. Right? Not just to go back to that same encounter and that same feeling, but wanting to know Jesus in a deeper level and have a real relationship with God. And that's the goal of our camps, is that people come back transformed. That there is a mark left in their hearts for eternity. Right? And that you leave a mark behind for eternity for people that you're leaving behind to be impacted. Right? That you actually leave an impact in somebody's life. When you die, it matters. Right? You left something behind. You don't just go away and people never knew you. Right? You go away and people knew you and they remember what you did for them. Right? That's the kind of impact we want to make, or at least that's the kind of impact I want to make. That we leave something behind, a mark for eternity, right? We themed our camp on purpose. We didn't just come up with that and say, well, that sounds cool. A mark for eternity. So how do we keep this as a mark for eternity? How do we continue to live a life that is full in Christ and not just an experience, not just a week, but eternity? Well, turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah's in the Old Testament. Wow, what, two of you have Bibles? Okay, all right, Joey. Let's get out our Bibles. Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. It's after Isaiah. It's after Psalms, after Proverbs. It's before the New Testament because it's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Are you there? You'll catch up. So God is speaking through Jeremiah the prophet. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the Jews. Now the Jews have this tendency, or the Israelites have this tendency to what we call wander. They experience God and then they wander, right? They experience him. They see real powerful miracles happen, like water shooting out of a rock. Right? These big, amazing, not just like some of the miracles we see today, but even further and even greater miracles they were seeing right in front of them. So they believe in God, but then to them it just becomes kind of mundane and then they start to wander and they start doing other things and they start making up their own idols and worshiping golden calves and all these weird things that they develop and make that they could worship, right? And so they're continually wandering and the prophets are continually speaking the word of God to them. And there's where we get in chapter 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed. It's a sweet word. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Ouch. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. Say no hope. That sucks. No hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited salty land. How many of you want to live there? Connor, of course. But there's a good but in here. It's a nice but. This but. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. How many of you that sounds better to you? Okay, two people, cool. The rest of you want to live in the desert barren with no trees and no fruit. Let's pray for you guys specifically. Father, we thank you so much for tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing camp that we experienced, that we had. God, I thank you for all the new relationships that we've built and all the new lives that were saved and set free at this camp. God, I pray that you would continue to pour just a fire into us, just a refreshing into us, God, that we would continue to pursue you and to know you and to love you. God, we thank you for everything that you're doing in us tonight and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we all have things that we are naturally good at, right? Anybody? Or are you not naturally good at anything? Well, that's the second part. But some of us have things, or most of us have something that we're naturally gifted in, good at. It comes natural. Like some people that just pick up a guitar and start playing. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make sense to me. But some people can do those kind of things in just a couple days. They play music, right? Some people just naturally have good voices. And it doesn't matter how hard you try to sing, yours doesn't get any better. When I say yours, I mean mine. Okay, I probably sing as much as somebody with a great voice, except mine doesn't ever become any better. It probably gets worse. I guarantee it gets worse. Especially through puberty, which was a long time ago. A couple weeks. Right? But some of us have these naturally amazing, not some of us, some of you guys have these naturally amazing voices. And yeah, you practice them and they get even better, but naturally some people can sing and some people can't. You know what I mean? Yes? Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page here. And some people are naturally what we would say athletic. Right? They pick up some ball they've never seen before and they're like phenomenal and kick it and throw it and it's amazing, right? Please don't trip me. Okay? Right? There's some people that are just naturally, they pick up at the game and they're good athletically no matter what they do. Right? We all have natural abilities. Some people have a mind of a sponge. You say something and they just soak it up. They never take any notes, but they remember everything you've ever said. Anybody like that? Me either. Some people, when they read, they retain every single word they read. And other ones like me, you read the same thing 15 times in a row and you get something different every single time because you're thinking of something else. With me, Maggie? And we don't retain anything, but some awesome things happen in our head and some things we dream up that has nothing to do with what we're reading. But it's awesome, and nobody else will know that information, which is probably a good thing. And then there's some people that have like this photogenic memory, right? They can see something and just completely memorize it. I remember watching this show a long time ago. I think it was like Ricky Lake. You probably have never heard of Ricky Lake because you're too young. But it was like Oprah, but before. And so she brings on this little like 10-year-old, 10 or 12-year-old, or 8-year-old, he's small, tiny, little guy. And he brings out this phone book. And they give him like a minute, and it's a phone book he's never seen, and they made sure of it. And they give him a minute, and you've got two pages on the phone book, right? But you have like three or four columns on each of all these numbers, phone numbers. And so he looks at it for about, I don't know, 30 seconds, maybe not even that long. And then they take it from him, and then they ask him, okay, Reed Anderson. They'll read off a name. And he says the exact number, the exact phone number. And then they say a phone number, and he says the exact name of that person on there the whole way through that entire page. Now, that's amazing, right? That's a natural ability. You don't practice that. If I practice and you gave me that thing for like a year, it would still not get memorized. Trust me. Even if I tried, I'd make up other numbers and I'd find something to remember, but it wouldn't be that. So some people are naturally gifted and talented at things. And besides singing, one thing that I am not naturally gifted at, I'm awful and terrible at, is administrative work. Why are you laughing? Hey, thanks. Speak life over me. Appreciate it. But I'm awful. I'm terrible at it. And this isn't me getting down on myself. I try to get better. Right? I work on it. And when I mean administrative work, there's a lot of things that entail in that, like making notes. First of all, I don't do that. Remembering the notes that you do make or not losing them. Making outlines, making lists, right? Making details, all organization, all that kind of stuff. Making phone calls. I am terrified of calling people. I don't know why. I'm pretty outgoing. I can speak in front of however many people, but I cannot make a phone call unless it's like to my mom, and it's still kind of terrifying. Mom, is that you? Yeah, hang up if it's grandpa. But he's dead, and that would be weird if he answered. So, but but sorry, bad joke. That was bad. Right, but for some reason, I'm terrified of making phone calls and asking people for things and putting out detailed outlines and getting people to follow instructions and getting myself to follow instructions in an orderly fashion and get things done on time and show up on time and all those kind of things is like administrative work. Well, some people are naturally gifted in that. How many of you are naturally gifted in that? You can be honest. Sweet, I am thankful for you. People like that amaze me because they enjoy it. I hate it. I loathe it. It is one of the worst things to me in the world to do is be administrative, is to be organized, is to have a structure and actually follow it. Now, if you look at my personality at all, or any personality test that I've ever taken, I have to have flexibility. I have to be able to move around. If I have too much structure, I'll feel like I'm in a box, and I will break out of that structure and throw those notes away. So to me, administrative work is not natural, it's not easy, it's not normal, but I still need people around me to help me with that and help me be organized, and I want to be structured and organized to an extent, but I don't want to be the one to do that. And so I have an amazing wife, and that's not the only thing she's amazing at. She's doesn't really enjoy it when it comes to making lists and helping me out. She's organized and helping herself and getting other things done, but she's like, come on, Reed, do it yourself. If it was up to me to pay the bills, we would be broke and not, well, actually, we'd probably have money. We just wouldn't have any, we wouldn't have paid any bills. I had this Gap bill for like 3 years, but that's another story. She finally paid it a while later for me with my money, but anyway, so those kind of things are hard for me. It doesn't come natural to me. Right? I'm not naturally gifted in that area, and so I need help in that area. I need people to support me in that area and help me be better. And no matter how hard I try, which I have tried to be better than that, and I am better than I was, but this year I still lost 3 permission slips for camp. Sorry, Brandon. 3 of them. People only gave me like 5 total, and I lost 3 of them. I don't know where they are. I looked all over for those things. They're somewhere in this building, so if you see them, let me know. But they're lost forever because I cannot stay organized as much as I try. In my own strength, in my own effort, I cannot do it. And I know this is a small example compared to what I'm going to say. But this is like us in our relationship with the Lord. When we try our hardest to be like Jesus, we try our best in our own human effort and our own nature to try and be like what we think a Christian should look like, we will fail miserably over and over and over again. Just like I try to be administrative and I try to sing really well, but it does not work and it does not come out pretty. And all of you would leave if I was leading worship. I promise. You don't want to hear it. Don't make me sing. Seriously, don't make me say. Right, but this is a struggle most of us, many of us have, especially after we have this amazing encounter with God. We experience God and we come back and we're on fire for Him and we want to be a good Christian. We want to have our life transformed, and so we try really hard to make ourselves better. Anybody tried this? Okay, me in the front row. Connor, yeah, I know you have. Just kidding. Right? We try to make ourselves better. We try to get rid of our bad habits. We try to put in some good habits. Right? We have this whole maybe checklist, if you are those organized people, of things you could improve on and things you could change and things you should not continue to do. Right? And we try on our own efforts so hard to make ourselves better and make ourselves look like what we think a Christian should look like. And this is the struggle that God was trying to tell the Israelites through Jeremiah, is that you are trying to do this on your own. You're trying to follow me, but you're trying to do it in your own effort. And so when you get discouraged, you start making up your own idols and worshiping them instead of me. Right? And that's this battle that the Israelites continued to have over and over. They would keep going back to these old habits and to these old idols because they would try in their own strength to make themselves better. So in Jeremiah 17:5, God says, "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord." Cursed are those who try on their own strength, who try to make it better, who try to do everything right on their own. When I first got saved, I tried my best to be a Christian. I failed miserably. I tried to stop cussing, and I'd get so mad and I'd cuss again. And then I'd get mad that I cussed, so I'd cuss again. And it was not working. Right? But I was trying. And I was getting discouraged, and I was starting to feel miserable, and I was starting to feel like a failure because I could not make it happen on my own. I couldn't make myself a Christian. And that was the struggle that they were having, is they're trying to do it all in their own human efforts. And God keeps telling them, look, you cannot do this on your own efforts. That word cursed means powerless to resist. You are powerless to resist temptations and struggles and trials and all those things that you are going to be faced when you go back to home, right? When we're not at camp, when we're in real relationships and friendships and all of our bad habits are starting to come back, right? We are powerless to resist those things on our own human effort. We cannot do it on our own, in other words. We can't make it happen. As much as we try, we cannot make it any better. It might look better for a season, right? I might be a little more administrative than I was, but I still will never be a Hannah or somebody else that's administrative, a Taylor, right? I will never be a Brandy Hussey. People that are like super administrative, I'll never be that. And that's not me wanting to be that. I wouldn't want to be that. But in my own strength, I cannot do that. And in our own strength, we cannot be like Jesus. We cannot be what we think a Christian should be like. And so when we come back from this spiritual high, and we come back from this great encounter with Jesus, we have this fire and we have this passion inside of us and we want to serve him. And so everything in our human strength is going to want to do it on our own. Say, okay, well, I got to stop cussing. I got to throw away all my rated R movies. I got to throw away all my CDs. I got to throw away all my brothers and sisters because they keep tempting me. I've got to change my habits, right? I got to throw away all my alcohol. Hopefully not. Got to throw away all my Dimetapp bottles. Tastes good sometimes. Right? I gotta make all these changes in my life. I've gotta change this. I've gotta change this. And some of those are good. And some of those habits you shouldn't continue. But the thing is, when we try to do it on our own and in our own strength, we'll just keep failing. Because we're trying on our own. And this is what God is saying. If you try this on your own, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. That's pretty harsh. It's basically saying you don't have any hope. They live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. That is the life that we have. We won't continue to live a life for God. We won't continue to have that passion and that fire inside of us. We won't continue to have that experience and that encounter that we had at camp or that you've had before in your past if you try on your own strength and you don't build your relationship with Jesus. And so this is the second part. Jeremiah 17:7. Which is nice that he puts a but in here. children. It's the same, but still good. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and make the Lord their hope and their confidence. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and make their hope and their confidence in Him. Right? If you want to sustain that relationship with Jesus, you want to grow that relationship with Him, you have to put your trust and your hope and your confidence in Him, not in yourself. Right? The Bible says to lean not on your own understanding. Right? But to lean on His understanding. Right? To trust Him and what He has for you, that His plans for you are good. And they're to prosper you. And they're to make you better. And they're to make you grow. Right? But we have to continue to pursue this relationship with Him. So we'll keep reading this. They, those who put their hope and their confidence in God, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That's good. They never stop producing fruit. If you plant your tree along the riverbank and your roots go into the water continues to bring nutrients into the roots and into the tree, and your tree will grow and it'll produce fruit. Right? But what does that mean? Plant your tree by the water. Do I literally find a seed and plant a tree? You could. But He's talking about your relationship with who? Who is the living water? Jesus. See, I love how He puts this in this way, in this context, that your roots will go down into the water. The water resembles Jesus. Jesus is the living water. In John 4:14, He's talking to the woman at the well, and He's saying, if you never want to thirst again, come to Me, and I will give you living water. Right? I will give you a water that does not make you thirsty again, and you will continue to feed off of it eternally. See, when we build relationship with Jesus, when we pursue Him and not our own strength and not our own works, our own abilities, when we pursue Jesus, He is that living water, and He starts making our roots go down deep in Him. It's about a relationship with Him. It's not about our works. It's not about what we can do or what we can provide or how much we better ourselves or what habits we change and what habits we bring back in. Right? It's about our relationship with Jesus. If you want your roots to grow down deep, then pursue a relationship with Jesus. That's what Christianity is about. It's not about trying to be a Christian, Maggie. It's not about that. You made eye contact, so I had to say your name. Right? It's not trying to be Jesus. It's being with Jesus. And the more we encounter Him and the more we are with Him, the more we are going to become like Him. And that's our struggle when we come back from this high, this Jesus high, right? Right? This amazing time with God and this personal encounter that you have and this passion that you have in your heart. The way that you sustain it is not by trying harder. It's by spending time with Jesus. It's by making Jesus number one in your life. It's about waking up in the morning and putting your mind and your thoughts and your focus on Jesus. That's how you grow. When I first got saved and I tried really hard not to mess up and to do all these things, I finally got to a place where I was like, God, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. And I finally told Him, Lord, I need You. And in that moment is when I started just running to Him. Right? First, I was throwing away all my bad CDs, which was probably a good thing. I was throwing away all my movies, which was probably a good thing. But it still wasn't producing fruit because it was my effort. But when I gave it to Him and I started spending time with Him and I get up early and I was excited to be with Jesus and I was excited to know more about Him, that's when He started changing my life. That's when He started transforming me. If you knew me before I was saved and you know me now, you would know there's a big difference. And it's not because I tried harder. It's because I gave up and allowed Jesus to do a work inside of me. And I let those roots go down deep in the living water. And I, every morning, got up and started spending time with Him. That's how we grow in the Lord, is by pursuing Him. Right? That's how we make a mark for eternity. I pointed to my chest, but I'm not wearing that shirt. Some of these other people are. That's how we leave a mark for eternity, not by you trying really hard to evangelize to people. Not by you trying really hard to preach the word all the time. But by you being obedient to God and growing in your understanding and your knowledge of Him and pursuing a love relationship with Jesus. That's how your roots grow deep. And that's how we sustain our walk and our life with Jesus, is by pursuing Him. It's by getting rooted in Him. Let's go to Ephesians. What's the question mark? Just kidding. Colossians. Colossians 2 verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now, wait for them to leave. Just as you, make it personal, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, or just as you have allowed God to really start transforming your life, or you've renewed your life in Him, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow deep in Jesus. If you could do anything to grow your relationship with the Lord, it's by spending time with Him. In the same way, you get to know a friend, you spend time with them. Right? You don't just look at their Facebook, see what they post on Instagram, like a couple of them. Right? But you actually get to know them, you pursue them. And that's how it needs to be in our relationship with God. It's about you knowing Him. God is the one who does the work, the transformation in your heart, and God's the one that does the transformation through you. You will start impacting other people when you pursue a relationship with Jesus. Right? Not by you trying to make a difference in somebody's life and pulling people aside and saying, let me disciple you. Right? It's by pursuing a relationship with God and Him giving you that wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding that you can start making an impact in someone else's life. Then your faith will grow strong. After you allow your roots to grow deep in Him, then your faith will grow strong and you'll overflow with thankfulness. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You'll hear me preach about Jesus a lot, and I won't stop. You can't make me stop. I can't stop, won't stop. Yeah, Delavay. Because that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. We make it too complicated. Look, if you had a deep relationship with Jesus, you would want to change your life. And you would allow Him to change your lifestyles. You would want to be more like Him. The more you pursue Him, the more you pursue to know who He is and what He wants. And what He thinks of you. The more I spend time with Jesus, the more I want to be transformed. The more I want to be more like Him, and the more convicted I am the way I live, the higher my standards become, because I want to be like Him, and I want to be close to Him, and I want other people to see Him when they see me, right? I want to be that reflection of Jesus to other people, but I have to know Jesus in order to be that, right? So it's about pursuing relationship with Him. Well, how do I make a mark for eternity? Get rooted in Jesus. Get rooted in Jesus. Plant yourself in the water. The living water. Right? Jesus is that living water. Plant yourself in the water. Now, how do we do this practically? Well, I'm going to give you some practical steps here. Let's look at Ephesians. The first thing we need to get rooted in is getting rooted in love. This is Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus, and he says this in chapter 3, verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So the first thing we need to do is get rooted in love. Now, when Jesus answers the question in Matthew of what is the greatest commandment, he says, first of all, he says to love God, right? With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. But then he gives him another one, and he says, also love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? In 1 John, John reiterates that love, that we are called to love God and love one another. So if we're getting rooted in love, we need to root ourselves in God, right? Our love for God, our relationship with him, how much we know him, how much we spend time with him, how much we read the word, how much we pray. But the other part is our love for one another, getting united into a body of believers that believe the same thing, that want the same thing, that encourage you, that build you up, that make you more like him. Get rooted in love with one another. Right, Brandon? Yeah. Right? Get rooted in your relationships with people. Keep coming together. This is a body. This is a family. This is where we build each other up. This is where we see a potential in one another and we start calling it out. Right? Get rooted into a family that wants the best out of you, that wants the most out of you. Get rooted in people and get rooted into God's love. Read your word. Right? There isn't some structure to that, which is nice because I like flexibility. I'm not saying you have to read your Bible a certain amount, but the Bible is God's word and it's his word to you. And as you read it and you read it to know it and to understand it, he speaks life to you. Right? So read your word. The Bible also says to pray continually. If you were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, speak in tongues. Don't do it over your friends. That would be weird. They'll think you're weird. Keep pursuing relationships. And the last thing is find somebody to mentor you. Right? Everybody should have somebody that's pouring into them. Find somebody that's going to mentor you, right? That's going to speak into you. That's going to pull stuff out of you. Not literally. But somebody that's going to pull potential out of you. That's going to call out the most of you. Right? That leader, that somebody that's further in the relationship with Jesus than you are. Right? Get rooted in love and get rooted in God. Get rooted in Jesus. Start spending time with him. Start developing that prayer life and that intimacy with him. If you're going to leave a mark for eternity, it's because you pursued relationship with Jesus. Will you stand with me? It's all about Jesus. Say that with me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. You don't have to keep repeating me. Right? It's all about Jesus, and that's what you should continue to pursue, is a relationship with him. And you will, I promise you, you will leave an impact. You will leave a mark. You will leave something behind that you can be proud of and say, I helped this person. I led this person to Jesus. I made an impact in this place, in this person's life, because I pursue relationship with Jesus. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word, God. We thank you for life, abundant life. God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you did at camp. And God, we pray that you would continue to build that in us. God, it wouldn't just be an experience that we had for a week, but it'd be a mark for eternity, God. We would continue to make a difference and an impact in our own lives and lives of others around us. God, help us to root ourselves in you and in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.